$24.99 due at signing. Ram truck $29.99 on select models with approved credit, plus tax, title, license, and dock fee.
Doctor, award-winning chief medical correspondent, and Salon Pos user, Dr. Bob Arnott.
For pain relief, the best solution may surprise you. I found that Salon Pos Lidocaine Plus works best for my pain. It's powerful, available without a prescription, and uses two anesthetics to numb nerves right where it hurts. It starts to work on contact, providing effective, lasting pain relief I can count on.
Salon Pos, in the silver box with the blue wave.
At Dell, we know running a small business takes hard work. As a thank you, during the Dell annual sale, we're offering up to 40% off select PCs with Intel Core processors and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with a small business technology advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL. Special financing available to qualified business customers when using Dell Business Credit. Go to dell.com/dbcpromos for details.
When working at a growing business, you wear many hats. The new business hat, the buying toner for the copy machine hat, the sifting through tons of resumes hat. You can throw away that last hat thanks to Indeed.com. When posting your job, Indeed lets you add screener questions that give you a more efficient route to your shortlist of qualified candidates. So go ahead, dust off that extra long lunch hat. And to accelerate your hiring even more, Indeed offers sponsored jobs. New users can try a premium placement for free at Indeed.com/promo. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply. Additional terms online.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, this is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com station. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. The
Score! This hour brought to you by CarX Tire and Auto.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
Games, you've addressed the lack of a pass rush. Does it make you regret your trade decision?
No, it doesn't make me regret. You know, we made the trade. There's got to be hindsight, 50-50, all that stuff. But we would have loved to have him here. You know, I'm not going to keep rehashing this. I would have loved to have coached him, loved to have had him here. But he's not here, and, you know, somebody's got to step up. We got to keep building our football team. That's what we're going to do. And hopefully we see more from Arden Key. Hopefully we see more from P.J. Hall when he gets healthy. And hopefully we prove that in the long term we did the right thing.
Middays on The Score.
It's the voice of John Gruden, who, you know what, on one hand, I understand how having a gigantic mistake that you didn't have a whole lot of logic for in the first place rubbed in your face over and over again gets frustrating. I understand that.
Hindsight, 50-50.
Been there too. But God, is that a bad mistake?
Well, number one, John, there is no chance you're ever going to be proved right on this one because you were wrong.
No.
Number two, hindsight has nothing to do with it. Nobody believed you were doing it when you did it.
Also true.
But number three, which I do think is worth some conversation, is I'm going to give Gruden some credit here because he's taken the heat, and I've checked my sources and checked them and checked them. Contrary to what people want to report, this was not all John Gruden. This was the owner who screwed up terribly, and there's a lot more to that story than people are focused on.
Well, we can head out to the phone line and perhaps find some corroborating evidence or just, you know, talk NFL with Eric Edholm of Pro Football Weekly, who joins the Bernstein and McKnight Show with Hub in for Dan right now. Hi, Eric. How are you?
Well, I hope I'm a little more convincing and maybe show a little more zeal in my responses than John did in that last one there. I'll just say that.
I suppose as long as you give the right number when doing the hindsight quote, I'm good. Like, that's fine.
Hindsight is 30-70, right?
Yeah, and let me grab this here for a second, Connor, because obviously Eric and I work together at Pro Football Weekly, and we don't have conflicting stories on this, but we were getting different things from the sources that we were talking to out there. And I think we were both talking to people pretty close to the situation. And Eric, I know your take on this is that there was a lot of football and Gruden involved. My take on this is that while I know there was some of that, there was also a lot of ownership's complete mishandling of its finances involved.
Yeah, and I think one of the things I was able to sort of uncover was that you know, there was a report out there that somebody said, oh, Gruden, the second he got this job, he was looking into, you know, options with trading Mac. I don't believe that is at all true. What I think he did, which you would say it was another team like the Patriots or something, is a very savvy move, which is, let's put all options on the table. What's worst case, what's best case, and what's in between? So, yes, when he did take the job, he understood. There's a contract situation brewing with Khalil Mack. We should be prepared to handle this thing and be prepared for any and all options. So I think that's the difference there. He's got a kind of a right-hand man and a guy named Tony Rosano, whose dad was kind of one of the architects of the old 49ers dynasty back in the 70s and 80s. But Tony has been around the league. He's been in personnel, and you know, he's sort of Gruden's personnel guy. And that may be a bad look for Reggie McKenzie, who is the GM in name. And I believe Gruden ultimately, you know, in terms of convincing himself, here's what you do, leaned on Rosano, who said, you just don't pay these guys that kind of money. And I wasn't able to confirm any ownership angle of it just because, you know, my sources weren't willing to go there. But, you know, that was, I believe, a notable part of the equation in this trade.
Well, and the piece that I was able to confirm, which again has nothing to do with the Bears side of this, but just why this opportunity was there in the first place, is that the Raiders have some cash flow problems. Mark Davis and the Davis family does not have the wealth, the generational wealth of most NFL ownership groups. And he's gotten himself into a deal in Las Vegas, which may eventually give him that kind of wealth. It may prove to be a great deal, but he does not have the money right now to meet some of the commitments that he's made to the city of Las Vegas for the building of the stadium. He's getting help from the league. Bank of America has bailed him out a little bit too. The NFL is not going to let this fall apart. They can't afford to let that happen. There are a number of owners who are very unhappy about what they've gotten backed into here. And at the end of the day, when the Bears did the deal, the new contract with Khalil Mack, league rules required them to put in escrow the guaranteed money. The Raiders didn't have that much cash around to put in escrow, so they couldn't do a deal with Khalil Mack, and they got themselves backed into a corner where trading him had probably become their only option.
Yeah, and one of the things that came out almost immediately after the trade was consummated, and then obviously the extension was signed with Mack, was that the Raiders almost said, well, yeah, we weren't going to go that deep on him. So, you know, there's also a dispute over how much they were willing to pay him. And, you know, I've always said, you know, NFL teams can get bankrolled as much as they need to. And obviously, if they had wanted to find a way to creatively finance a Khalil Mack deal, I think they could have gotten it done. Would that have put them in a hole and put them in a situation where they now owe several parties money and such? Yeah, and that's obviously a business practice that a lot of people aren't willing to engage in.
Eric, we spent a lot of time, Hub and I, on the show this morning talking about the Bears' defense. I kind of want to flip things over to the Mitch Trubisky side of things, which is, as everybody thought to begin the season, the biggest part of it. It's become somewhat less, only because the defense has been that good. That doesn't mean it means any less. How do teams around the league scout Mitch Trubisky at this point? How do you understand coaches looking at the Bears quarterback and trying to game plan around him? Because we heard from Frank Clark, a defensive end of the Seahawks, after the game, that he didn't think he was anything special. And I'm wondering if that's something that you're hearing from other places.
Yeah, I mean, when I talked to Clark in the locker room after Monday night's game, you know, and just for context, I'm sure, you know, hearing the soundbite, people could tell that this wasn't a guy who was engaging in some, you know, you just lost the game, I'm going to go trash their quarterback. He mm-hmm. seemed very sort of calm and earnest about the whole thing. And just somebody, you know, we asked him, what did you think of Trubisky? Yeah, he was okay. And, you know, I don't think he's necessarily wrong. I mean, is he a middle-of-the-road quarterback? If you just started stacking quarterbacks of where they are at this very moment in the NFL, you could probably list 15 or 20 names before you even brought Mitch up. And that's, you know, you look at how some of these guys who've been in the league 10 or 12 years, they're obviously going to be above him. Some of the younger guys like Watson and Mahomes in his draft class have had fewer starts but have had higher highs. So you'd probably list them above him as well. And so, you know, as far as the scouting report that Clark provided, it was that pressure in his face. You know, we didn't get enough of that, but when we did, he flushed out, he got the happy feet, his eyes went down, and that kind of limited them. Yes, he's a good athlete, you know, and Clark even said, I think he'll get better. But, I mean, one of the interesting quotes he had was, I think you need to spend a little time looking around the league at other quarterbacks. And I don't know, you don't hear that sort of analysis from players all that often. And it was kind of an interesting perspective there. Now, Frank Clark could be wrong. I mean, it's one guy's opinion. But, you know, as far as the rest of the league is concerned, the Seahawks' blueprint Monday night was to stop Jordan Howard, you know. You do that, then you may have some success against this Bears team.
You know, I think, Eric, the mistake that a lot of people are making, and by the way, you can read Eric at home 24/7 at ProFootballWeekly.com. When I'm on as a guest, I try not to shamelessly plug my own site, but as a co-host, I can sit here all day and say ProFootballWeekly.com, ProFootballWeekly.com, because Eric is here.
Yeah,
I'm just a cheap plug there, but what are you going to do? Eric, if you take a look at the current quarterback ratings after 2 weeks, what you will find is literally one spot ahead of Mitch Trubisky, rated 24th at 80 point something. He was 28th in the league last year at 77.3. One spot ahead of him is none other than MVP Matt Ryan, and one spot ahead of him is none other than Deshaun Watson, who is having the exact same struggles through 2 weeks as Trubisky. And then if you look just behind Mitch Trubisky, you will find Jimmy Garoppolo, another really good quarterback. I forget who is behind Garoppolo. Oh, Matt Stafford. So you know, forming these opinions this early are just ridiculous. I think the bigger question is that what are we seeing from week to week to suggest to us that Trubisky's ceiling is as high as Ryan Pace thinks it is, and that he is at least taking strides to get there?
Yeah, I think that last point you just made is really important. I think it's easy to say, oh, the stats don't stack up. There's so many different factors in that. Who have you played on defense? You know, what teammates do you have on the offensive line, receiver, running back, tight end, whatever? You know, what positions is your defense putting you in, or your special teams? I mean, there's a million factors that go into what quarterback stats are, right? That's one part of it. And I think that the part about his ceiling, you know, I've always felt like, you know, all things being equal, you know, the brief flashes we've seen from Mahomes are higher than anything Mitch has done in the NFL to this point. Again, unfair. Two-game comparison, three if you want to count his start from last year. Watson, that seven-game stretch last year, he was on fire. Granted, the team went 3-3, you know, in the ones he started. But, you know, again, I would say that his high highs have been higher than what Mitch has shown. You know, I keep coming back to the Alex Smith comparison, and a lot of people have drawn that line between Trubisky and Smith and said, you know, those are sort of similar players. Maybe Andy Dalton, I've heard a few other people say. If you look with both those guys, you know, Dalton got thrust in there sooner and had a little bit more support staff around him than Smith did in the early part of his career. It was a gradual ascension. You know, Alex Smith didn't really sort of hit Alex Smith levels until about 6, 7, 8 years ago, you know, well into his career. Same with, you know, I mean, Dalton has been sort of a steady progression guy with a few hiccups here and there. But the Smith thing, I mean, he had his career year at age 32 or whatever. So I'm not saying the Bears are going to have a decade's worth of patience with him, but I think as long as they see those little incremental improvements week to week, season to season, they're going to be okay with it. I just don't know if he'll ever be that Matt Ryan 2016 season, that kind of level of play. I could be wrong, but I think he'll be good to very good eventually, not great to exceptional.
Eric, Matt Nagy has mentioned a couple of times now in his press conference yesterday and through the preseason that the offense is going to continue to take shots, that he's not worried about interceptions, or at least wasn't in the preseason, because they can be growth, and he's not going to worry about interceptions setting back any kind of going long that this offense wants to do. Is it fair to wonder whether Nagy changes the quantity of deep plays, the quantity of risk he's willing to take in a game because this offense has a defense like they have backing him up?
Yeah, it's a great question. And, I mean, I think, you know, you obviously can look at Mitch's misfire early in the game. He had an open receiver, I forget if it was Gabriel or Miller, you know, running wide open on that over route. You know, there was the interception down the right sideline there. It was a play that either Mitch has to throw it a couple yards farther or just, you know, put it in a place where either the receiver gets it or nobody does. You know, he left it a little too much underthrown there. I mean, those are still plays that there was a potential catch to be had there, I think. You know, when Nagy sees the tape, he's going to say, all right, here's where the ball needs to be. So the play call isn't necessarily wrong. It's just sort of the execution of it. I think, you know, he mentioned that early in the year, or in the offseason, I should say, Nagy did, where, you know, part of the way this offense works is you have those speed guys, and now it looks like Allen Robinson's running well. It looks like Gabriel's flying around out there. Miller can run some of those intermediate and deep routes too, where those routes can achieve a lot of things even if the ball isn't going there. Or if you throw one early in the game, you get the defense to respect that. So the more they stretch the grass out and make teams cover more ground, the better it is for the run game and everything else underneath. So I still think you have to take him, but if it's at the risk of, you know, it's a sliding scale. If Howard's losing out on carries or something like that, you're not getting Cohen involved, you've got to maybe find that right balance there, I think.
Eric, forgive me for this one. I can't remember if this was Arthur's story he was working on or yours, but I think it was you. What's going on early again in Detroit with the Matt Patricia experience?
Yeah, well, I've written about him a couple times, but, you know, I don't know if it was specifically what you're talking about. But the thing that stands out to me, and, well, first of all, I visited there in training camp, and three straight practices with the New York Giants, they're out there running sprints after practice, and the Giants are in, you know, already in the cold tub at this point. And so I was like, wow, okay, that's interesting. Yes, the New England Patriots have done some version of that for years, Patricia, you know, having cut his teeth in that system. We've seen it time and time again where an ex-Patriots assistant goes on to run his own team and tries to do the Bill Belichick thing. We're going to go old school. We're going to do this and that. And we're going to, you know, make sure these guys are ready for the long haul. And, you know, they start the season slowly. So that's one element. The other element, though, is that the Detroit Lions, two of their best assets the last couple of years have been the special teams and the turnover factor. I mean, they've sort of been on the positive side of the turnovers. They're dead last in the NFL in possessions given away. I mean, they've been so sloppy and undisciplined with the football. You know, all those Matthew Stafford pass plays, they've been kind of limited. They still don't have a run game. The kicking game has been really subpar, and that run defense, that front seven looks just so ugly right now. So Patricia will only get so much sort of, you know, leeway with this thing, but they've got some personnel issues too. And maybe they were masked by, you know, the turnover stuff and the special teams. That kind of kept them in games a lot last year when they were, you know, at least competitive.
Eric, one of the few teams that have been worse than the Lions are the Arizona Cardinals. That's who the Bears have next. Is that Cardinals situation fixable by anything other than Josh Rosen being the second coming?
Yeah, good question. I don't know if that move happens this week or if it happens in-game or if it happens the week after or what. The one thing I've noticed now watching a little bit of their offensive tape is that Mike McCoy, their offensive coordinator, I've known Mike a long time. You know, it looks to me like he is trying to protect Bradford in that balky knee. The balky knee that they spent $20 million on, by the way. With a quick game, you know, three-step drops, getting the ball out fast. The problem is they have no receivers who can separate. I mean, you know, Larry Fitzgerald's playing on a bad hammy. They've got a young tight end who hasn't done much. David Johnson's role has been really just slimmed down. I'm shocked at how uncreatively they're using him, you know, handoffs up the middle, a couple of screens here and there. And, you know, they've gone three and out how many times? They've been brutal offensively in the first half. I mean, just, you know, and they're putting themselves in 14-0, 17-0, 21-0 holes. And guess what? They don't have an offense that's built to come back like that. So maybe on the first series, you see them try to stretch things out a little bit and take a shot and maybe risk, you know, their quarterback getting hit or something like that. Because if not, if they're going to just try to play this little small ball and station-to-station stuff, that defense has now been gashed two games in a row in the second quarter. Six possessions, five touchdowns, one field goal. I mean, it just there's no way they can keep up that pace.
Eric, I think we're probably getting close to having to let you run, but to me it should be the main topic of conversation around the NFL today. The Green Bay Packers had a game stolen from them on Sunday by what I think was clearly a blown officials call on the roughing the passer on Clay Matthews. There is debate depending on who you talk to because people aren't even sure what the correct call is. I'm not hearing from anybody that there is any remedy coming from the league office in the near future. Curious if you're hearing anything differently than that.
Oh, yeah. In addition to not only saying that the Matthews call was the correct call, the league is now doubling down and saying we're going to use that as a teaching video of what not to do.
Perfect.
I mean, to me, that is just stunning. Look, I'm not you know, playing sides, Packers, Bears, or anything like that. I mean, I'm just calling it straight here. That was a bad call. And I don't know how defensive players can be taught to sack the quarterback. You saw Matthew's left arm bracing himself besides Kirk Cousins so as to not place his entire body weight on him, right? Isn't that what you're trying to teach these guys to do, to not drive them into the turf, and yet somehow they find fault in it and are now going to use this as a teaching point? Here's you know, textbook 15-yard penalty. That just, I'm with you, Hub. They had that game stolen from them in that regard. You know, and it's crazy to think that this is the new NFL.
You know, and just what makes this so confusing, because I have been told by NFL officials that there's actually two different rules there. One is driving the quarterback into the ground so as to cause risk of an injury. And then a second separate one is landing on him with your full body weight. Those are two different things. And I talked to an NFL head coach yesterday who said, you know, I guess you're right. I thought it was one rule. So, it is mystifying to me how they think this can possibly get better.
Yeah, I mean, every year it seems like we've got a new rule, and you know, I don't want to blame the competition committee, but I think they do in a certain way have to justify their existence by, you know, sort of tweaking things and coming up with solutions. And it always feels like their solutions make the problem worse. So yeah, you know, that's just one of those little clarifications there on an already confusing rule and an already maddening rule that is going to make things just really hairy. Wait till we get into a, you know, a week 17 game, a playoff game, God forbid a Super Bowl when this happens. It's going to get uglier, I think.
Eric, appreciate it as always. Thanks so much.
All right, fellas. Talk to you soon.
It's Eric Edholm of Pro Football Weekly. It's one of those famous phrases, Hub. It may get worse before it gets better in the NFL when it comes to going after quarterbacks. And really, it may not get better at all.
I don't know how it can get worse than the league office claiming that was actually a correct call, because it clearly did not meet their written definition of what that rule is supposed to be.
And certainly the NFL to pat themselves on the back for something so obviously wrong. Top of the hour brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Tickets for the Chicago Wolves 25th anniversary season are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. Be there for the home opener as the Wolves defend their back-to-back Central Division championships on October 13th. That's, of course, at the Allstate Arena. Hub is here. We'll take a couple of phone calls on the Bears and the NFL if you like. Certainly want to get into a little piece Eric mentioned about Mitch Trubisky and how other teams around the league may see him. Frank Clark has said his piece after the win against the Seahawks. Others are saying theirs, too.
Real quick, before we get, I hate when we get a complete idiot on the text line.
Go so let's
back,
read it.
Go back and look at the tape. He could have pulled up, but that's Clay Matthews. He loves the late hit. You go back and look at the tape.
Oh, no, that's nonsense.
He hit him at the instant the ball was released. There's no way he could have pulled up. I mean, it was as bang-bang as they get. So, you know, you want to let your hate for a team or a player get in the way, go ahead. It doesn't change the fact that the league completely screwed that up.
No, the other thing you'll hear is that he's lifting his leg up and taking him off the ground. That's not true either. Cousins' momentum was carrying him backward because Clay was coming in. That is football.
You, the only way you can defend that is if you're a Packer hater, and that's not what we're talking about right now.
312-644-6767 is the phone. Or maybe we can, you know what? Let's fix the quarterback role when we get back. I got something crazy for you. We'll get into that next here on 670 The Score.
Bears fans, we've got an incredible lineup of football experts on every Score show throughout the season,
including our show, Mully and Haw.
Mornings 5 to 9.
Featuring current Bear Akeem Hicks, Mondays at 8:20. Former Bears head coach Dave Wannstedt, Tuesdays at 8. NBC Sports Pro Football Talk host Mike Florio, Tuesdays at 8:40. Pro Football Hall of Fame writer Dan Pompey, Wednesdays at 6. Vegas betting expert Joe Fortenbaugh, Fridays at 7:40. Voice of Bears Radio, Jeff Joniak, Fridays at 8:20. And lots more.
So keep it on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Chicago's home for Bears fans.
This is John Feinstein with the CBS Sports Minute, brought to you by Werner, the official ladder of pros everywhere. You have to love the NFL. Not only is the league standing by the absolutely horrendous call made by referee Tony Corrente on Packers linebacker Clay Matthews when he sacked the Vikings' Kirk Cousins late in Sunday's tie, it's now claiming it will use the play on its teaching tape next season to show officials what roughing the passer looks like. Okay, I give up. I'm 100% in favor of rules that protect the players, whether they involve targeting, helmet-to-helmet hits, or concussion protocols. We all know how dangerous the game can be, short-term and long-term. But if a tackle like the one made by Matthews is not not allowable, then yes, it's time to just put flags on the players and give up the idea of tackle football completely. And yet, the NFL is insisting this was a great call, just like the Deflategate investigation was a great idea. Unreal. I'm John Feinstein.
Hey folks, when it comes to multi-position ladders, don't monkey around. Check out the new Werner Multi-Position Pro Ladder, made by the number one brand in ladders. It's versatile, compact, and actually converts to five different ladders in one. And at a 375-pound rating, it's Werner's lightest and strongest yet. Don't be fooled by brands with less positions or require accessories. Get a Multi-Position Pro from Werner, the number one brand in ladders. Check out our video or find a retailer near you at WernerLadder.com. That's WernerLadder.com.
At AutoZone, helping you get more done is what we do best. Like with the AutoZone Rewards program, you'll earn a $20 reward every time you spend $20 or more five times. It's just one more way to get more done. Right now, save on 5 quarts of Valvoline Daily Protection Conventional or Max Life High Mileage Motor Oil on an STP oil filter for $25.99. Visit any of our 166 Chicagoland AutoZone locations and let us do more for you. See terms at AutoZone.com/rewards. Restrictions and details in store.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
This segment is brought to you by G&D Integrated.
Hi, it's Ron Coomer, and I know a good drive when I see one. G&D Integrated is hiring Class A CDL drivers in Illinois right now. G&D understands work/life balance. Be part of the G&D family. Visit GDTR.com. That's GDTR.com.
Save big during the kickoff to savings at Sunrise Chevrolet in Glendale Heights. All new Chevys have been priced for immediate sale. Like this 2018 Chevy Cruze, over $6,000 off MSRP. Or a new Malibu, over $8,900 off MSRP. That's a big score. At prices this low, these Chevys won't last long. So hurry in today for the best selection. Sunrise Chevrolet in Glendale Heights.
The bright way to buy.
Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly with Hero.Loan. The VA loan is one of the greatest benefits of being in the military. Here's why. You can buy a house with no down payment, maximize your cash out on refinance, lower interest rates than any other loan program, and no PMI. At Hero.Loan, we close VA loans in 14 days, and I pay for your appraisal. If you're VA eligible, get the loan you deserve today at Hero.Loan. That's Hero.Loan, the only way to VA. The Home Loan Expert, LLC.
Did you know that Ace Rewards from your local Ace Hardware saves you money instantly? Ace Rewards members get instant savings at checkout. Sign up for free at your local Ace. It only takes an instant. Get a Werner 8-foot fiberglass stepladder for just $69.99 after $10 instant savings with your Ace Rewards card. Only at Ace, the helpful place. Must be an Ace Rewards member to receive instant savings. Offer valid through September 30th. See participating stores for details.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Silver Creek Rockin' Brew Fest at Four Winds Casino, New Buffalo. Sunday, October 28th from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern. Taste beers from the best local breweries while rocking out to the hottest tribute bands. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. Don't miss Rockin' Brew Fest, October 28th at Silver Creek Event Center at Four Winds Casino, New Buffalo. Your entertainment escape.
Fast is the nation's largest gig speed network. Beyond Fast is the complete reliability of 4G LTE backup. That means whether you're downloading big files, swiping credit cards, or emailing your sales team or customers, your business can go on even if the power goes out. When you're a business owner, you need speed and reliability. For a limited time, make the switch to Comcast Business and get an amazing deal on fast, reliable internet. Just one more way Comcast Business goes beyond AT&T. Get started with 75 megabit internet for $49.95 per month when you add two voice mobility lines. Call 1-800-501-6000 today. Comcast Business. Beyond Fast.
Offerance 9/20/18. Restrictions apply. New business customers only. 2-year agreement required. Early termination fee applies. Equipment taxes and fees extra subject to change. Connection Pro backup limited to up to 6 hours.
One day only. This Thursday. One location. Mancari Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram in Oak Lawn. This Thursday and this Thursday only. Mancari's will sell every brand new Chrysler Jeep Dodge and Ram truck. $2,000 below official factory invoice prices. Not list price. No exclusions. New Jeep Cherokees. Grand Cherokee Limiteds. Wranglers. Chrysler Pacific. Pacificus, $2,000 below official factory invoice. Even the all-new redesigned 2019 Ram will be sold $2,000 below factory invoice this Thursday only at Man Carry Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram at Oak Lawn. 1,000 new vehicles are on display. You will drive home today and pay $2,000 below factory invoice on anyone you choose. $2,000 below factory invoice. This will not be repeated. Sale hours have been extended on Thursday for this exclusive one-day sale at Man Carry Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram on 95th Street in Oak Lawn.
Dealer profit not limited to amount over under invoice includes all rebates plus tax, title, license, and unfair.
When traveling to see the Chicago Cubs, start with a fill-up at Marathon. And to make it a winning trip, go to mileshavemeaning.com. Marathon, fueling the American spirit. Head coach Chris Collins and Northwestern basketball return to the new Welsh Ryan Arena on November 2nd. Season tickets to watch Chicago's Big Ten team are on sale now at nusports.com.
My lawn's been worn out by summer, not to mention by my kids.
This year, use Scotts in the fall. Just one more feeding gives your grass the nourishment it needs to recover from the wear and tear of summer, while also building resilient roots to help prevent a weak, thin lawn next spring.
This fall, my kids and my grass are back out to play.
This is a Scotts Yard. Now's the time to feed your lawn. Pick up a bag of Scotts Winter Guard today.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
I didn't get explanation whatsoever. I had no idea. You know, I looked up, there was a flag there, and I honestly had no idea, you know. Because like I said, I got my head across, hands were down, didn't dump him, hit him within the framework, the proper tackling area. So I don't know. I think it's, you know, much like you saw with the lowering the helmet preseason, I think that hopefully the league, you know, gets to the refs and, you know, tells them to tone it down a little bit, because it's, I don't know what else to do.
Well then, Clay Matthews, you will continue not knowing what to do, because unlike the helmet rule that was so widely enforced the first couple of weeks of the preseason, the rule on not hitting quarterbacks was doubled down on by the NFL just over the last day or so. That's what they wanted. That hit has been referenced as a teaching point. The hit has been pushed as a proper call. It ain't changing. It's not going away. This is the Bernstein and McKnight Show. Hub Arkish is in for Dan. I'm Connor. We'll take a couple phone calls. It's Hub's day to do that anyway. So James, Eric, David, hang on the line. We will whip through a couple of calls. You want to lob one in for Hub here about the Bears or the NFL in general? It's your day to do it. But, you know, Hub, with that call specifically and other calls that are going to come out of it, I don't think that the competition committee ever really gets themselves to a point of expecting to change a game with a rule like this, to change the single outcome of a game. They just want the larger issue changed, and whether or not it's going to do it for them, that's debatable, but they want the larger issue changed, and outcomes be damned, as long as you've got your players available to you.
You know, at the end of the day, this all comes back to an admirable effort to make the game safer for players. And it really springs from head trauma specifically. You know, everybody's focused on them trying to protect the quarterbacks because they're the rock stars and, you know, you think you need them and blah, blah, blah. And I'm sure there's some element of that, but that's not why they started this. The idea is to protect players from injury and specifically head trauma. At some point, somebody in charge is going to have to get used to the fact that the only way to do that is you can't play tackle football anymore. Because what they're not saying is that we want to alleviate big hits. They're not saying stop hitting guys as hard as you can. You know, that's still the idea of the game. And as long as that is the goal, you're going to have the injuries. And so then you take the next step. Well, are they doing it because they care about their players or because they're worried about their liability? Because this is the owners.
Yeah, their bottom line, really. Yeah.
And I'm sure it is as much or more the financial liability they face from lawsuits and workman comp claims and things like that. And again, you're not helping yourself on that with this. You're just hurting your game. And somebody somewhere has got to get smart about this and realize what they're doing.
You know, speaking of the league trying to protect itself, the liability and stuff, I'm sure, you know, it's days like, or stories rather, like the Hall of Fame letter that got sent out by Eric Dickerson, and I guess had names put on it that didn't want to be on it. It's situations like that where the NFL, the league, you know, the big face behind the curtain, all that kind of stuff, It just loves stuff like that. Any little thing, and it is a little thing, because I don't think anyone's going to care one way or the other if a bunch of Hall of Famers show up to the Hall of Fame broadcast, the ceremony, the enshrinement, or not. But any little thing that comes in between players, that forces wedges between a labor group and then the actual ability to get the money or collective bargaining power that they'd like to have it done, it's the Le'Veon Bell situation where you saw teammates go against Le'Veon and fighting for his money. Whether they're right or wrong, you don't do that publicly. It only splits the power that you've got. Whether it's anybody else who's going to hold out and fight against it, the NFL loves stories like that because it just lets them sit entrenched in their power just any bit longer.
Well, you know, the interesting thing about the Dickerson letter, I'm calling it the Dickerson letter, he's not the only one responsible for it, is that it is as much a failing of the NFLPA as it is the owners. Because what these guys want, and what I can understand their desire to have, and maybe some entitlement to it, is benefits that didn't exist when they were playing, but exist now. And traditionally, if you're in a union, that's up to the union to negotiate and provide.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, the union is making a ton of money with some of the rights fees and franchising that they've been doing. And the easy answer is for the head of the union to go to the owners and say, these guys are right. This is what it's going to cost. We're kicking in half. You kick in the other half. And let some of the current players help the retired players. But the idea that this is the owners again, it's really not that simple.
Bottom of the hour brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Tickets for the Chicago Wolves 25th anniversary season are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. Be there for the home opener as the Wolves defend their back-to-back Central Division championships on October 13th at the Allstate Arena. We'll head out on the phone lines here. It is in Homer Glen. Eric. What's up, Eric?
Hey, good afternoon. I guess full disclosure, I dislike the Vikings and the Packers equally, so I don't really have a dog in the fight here. But throughout this week, you know, I was chatting with my buddies Danny and Funboy, and you know, nobody can really believe that they're not talking about the Vikings hit and the call that was against Aaron Rodgers earlier. I know that, you know, much of the focus and most of the media hype has been around the Matthews hit and that being potentially what cost the game and the Packers got screwed up a victory and, you know, so on and so forth. But I just wanted your take and opinion on that hit that I believe ultimately led to points by the Packers earlier in the game. Was that any different? You know, I just would love some perspective on that because I view that particular play as even less egregious than what Matthews engaged.
Thanks, Eric.
You know, what I'd love to know is somebody who's gone through life with two names, Herbert and Hub. They're both given names, but I've always tried to avoid Herbert. I'm curious what Funboy's name is that he'd rather be called Funboy. But to your point, Eric, there are, I can't say in every game, but in almost every game that I've either seen or watched tape of so far this season, there's been a call on hitting the quarterback that you know, best case, even if I agreed with it, I understood the confusion. So I was going back and forth. I'm not sure. I haven't rewatched the whole tape of the game yet. I'm not sure that I know the call you're talking about in the Vikings, but this is not a Packer-centric debate. I mean, there have been... I thought the call on Nick Perry against the Bears was unwarranted week one. You know, Matthews took responsibility for his late roughing call in the Bears game, and I even thought that one was marginal. So it's not about choosing the Packers over the Vikings. It's that particular call clearly changed the outcome of the game, because if it doesn't take away the interception, the Packers run out the clock and they win. They don't go to overtime. And so we're not just talking about a bad call. Now we're talking about a blown call that changed the outcome of the game. I don't think you can say the same thing about a call that went against the Vikings earlier in the game.
Well, and you're going to have blown calls, mm-hmm. regardless of what rules you're enforcing, whether it's a hold, a defensive interference, any of this stuff. You're going to have bad calls. It's just that in the past, we've seen at times those bad calls get called out by the league or by officials saying, yeah, that flag might not have been thrown, or an NBA situation where you get the last 2 minute report and it's, yeah, we missed a call here and this should have been that, and it doesn't change anything, but at least it lets you know what the league and the officials are thinking about. This isn't that case. That hit has been, like we mentioned at the top, that hit's been reinforced by the league in its correctness.
Here's something the league really needs to think about. I'm not sure where you know, Mike Pereira and Dean Blandino are on their Christmas card list right now because they left to go chase the money at the networks. But they are the last two vice presidents in charge of officiating, you know, prior to Riveron, who's got the job now. Both came out on Monday and said, Lee's got to do something about this. These calls aren't clear. Nobody knows what's going on. When you've got the last two directors of officiating who don't agree that these calls are clear and you're still defending it, you got a pretty serious problem.
They're shunned. They're shunned by the community. Out in OP, it's David. What's up, David?
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. Hub, it's great to hear from you. I wanted to point out that since the addition of Khalil Mack and the defense has gotten a lot better, I find myself looking at the line of scrimmage once the ball is snapped. Mm-hmm. On the first two games, I feel like I've seen a lot more holding by the offense because it is such a better defense that there are lots of no calls. You know, what is your take on that? Have you actually seen that?
Well, Dave, I mean, it's an old cliche. There is holding on every play in the NFL, and it's a question of which ones the officials are going to deem worthy of calling or not. It's another curious rule to me. Somewhere along the line, it became okay for offensive linemen to hold defensive linemen's jerseys as long as they were inside their shoulders, you know, which is a bit of a mystery to me, but that's the rule. And so I think that you are actually just more conscious of it because the Bears pass rush has gotten so good. I think that most of the blatant ones are getting caught. They miss one every once in a while. But I have not noticed an uptick in non-calls these first two games against the Bears. I may be missing it. I'm not saying you're wrong, but my honest answer to you is I haven't seen that.
Bottom of the hour brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Tickets for the Chicago Wolves 25th anniversary season are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. Be there for the home opener as the Wolves defend their back-to-back Central Division Championship on October 13th at Allstate Arena. Hub Arkish is in for Dan Bernstein and his day to take calls anyway. So after the break, get a chance, 312-644-6767. You want to talk NFL with Hub Arkish? Now's your chance on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. 670 The Score.
Cubs fans, October looms large. The stage is set for an epic pennant race with the Cubs and Brewers neck and neck. Listen to all the drama unfold right here on Sports Radio 670 The Score, official radio home of the Chicago Cubs. Brought to you by Old Dominion Freight Line, the official freight carrier of Major League Baseball and the Cubs.
Hey, Chicago, it's the Cassidy Kids.
And does our family have a deal for you? Save up to $70 on a set of four select tires all month long.
What a deal!
Stop by any of our 15 Cassidy Tire and Service locations.
Experience dependability since 1914.
Ordinary. Ordinary is everywhere. Look around. If you want ordinary, there are plenty of places to get it. But if you want extraordinary, you want Volvo Orland Park. And right now, we're offering a 2019 Volvo XC60 all-wheel drive for just $499 a month. Now that's extraordinary. Volvo Orland Park on 159th Street, a member of the International Autos Group. Lease with approved credit for 36 months, $39.99 due. No security deposit, tax, title, license, and dock fee extra.
We're wow. We're for streaming, surfing, and gaming. We're for bringing you internet, TV, and phone. For browsing, watching, and chatting. We're for endless entertainment and wonderful Wi-Fi. We're for more browsing and less buffering. For more working and less waiting. All with a helping hand and a high five to top it all off. We're for bringing you internet, TV, and phone. We're wow, and we're for all. Visit wowway.com to learn more.
Time now for the Bears Daily Update. Cheer on the Monsters of the Midway at Soldier Field this season. Visit ChicagoBears.com/tickets today. I'm Mark Rohde. A strip sack by Khalil Mack was the flash during the Bears' win over Seattle, but there's more to it.
When you're on the other side of the ball and you have a Khalil Mack that you got to prep for, you saw the amount of times they were trying to chip him and double team him. That's what he's going to see. That allows a Danny Trevathan to come out and have six tackles and two sacks, right? And it allows Eddie Jackson's and the Aaron Lynch's and the Goldmans and all these other guys, the Hickses, everybody to step their game up. If they're going to double him, someone else is free.
Six sacks in all for the defense. As for the offense, two rich drives resulting in touchdown throws by Mitchell Trubisky. And despite the two interceptions Trubisky threw, Bears head coach Matt Nagy will not defer to a more conservative game plan.
When you start just dinking and dunking and going short throws or trying to run the ball too much, then it's advantage defense. You got to be able to make them use the whole field. We're never going to stop doing that.
And that's the Bears Daily Update.
morning, kids. Welcome to the Otto Hahn Rideshare. I'm your driver, Katherine Hahn. If you care for a beverage, there's juice boxes in the Stow-and-Go storage system.
Mom, not this again.
In-ride entertainment is available with Apple Music or the available Uconnect Theater with games, apps, and all my favorite movies queued up.
I think I'd rather watch the Knitting Channel.
Safety is our top concern. That's why we only drive the Chrysler Pacifica. Enjoy the available hands-free sliding door on your way out. No tip? That's why you get an allowance.
Discover the full Apple experience with up to 6 months of Apple Music on us. Chrysler Pacifica. Up your van game. Now, well-qualified lessees get a low-mileage lease on the 2018 Chrysler Pacifica Touring L for $339 a month for 36 months, with $3,299 due at signing. Tax title license extra. For more information about the Apple experience, visit Chrysler.com/Apple. Available feature on select models. Call 1-888-CHRYSLER for details. Requires dealer contribution to lease through Chrysler Capital. 25% charge for each mile over $30,000. Residency restrictions apply. Take retail delivery by 10-1. Chrysler is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Imagining a better bank starts with looking at the savings rates most banks offer and saying, really? Capital One is building something better. You can open a Capital One savings account with one of the nation's best savings rates from anywhere, like here, or here, or here. One of the nation's best savings rates, opened online, at a Capital One location, or from anywhere. That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet?
For consumers only. Offered by Capital One NA, member FDIC. Copyright 2018 Capital One.
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy? Come to Dynavite for help. Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite. Pick up 2 bottles of LicoChops, get the 3rd bottle free. New improved LicoChops with omega-6, omega-3, vitamin E, and now 6 extra direct-fed microbials. Even better for the digestive tract and immune system. And dogs love it. Try LicoChops. Buy 2, get 1 free. This is Henry Lukasevic for Dynavite.
DINOVITE.com.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
It's the official, unofficial Hub Arkish caller segment here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. Hub's in for Dan, and we've, you know, the phones are working, and this is what we do on Wednesdays as part of our football week, is get Hub out there for you, the NFL fan. You want to talk Bears, you want to talk Browns, I guess, if you have to. Want to talk Steelers, we do that. That's what Hub's here for you.
If Todd from Gardner was listening, he'd be dialing up about the Browns.
That's why I mentioned.
But what I cannot do is get through my week without my Frank from Oak Park fix.
Well, then we shall head out to the phone lines and hear from Frank in Oak Park. What's up, Frank?
Hub, I wanted to get your input on this because you were probably at the game and maybe looked at the old 22s afterwards. Nagy intimated something at the press conference that there were coverages thrown at him from Seattle that they weren't quite expecting. And I got a question as far as run and pass on that. When the Bears went two tight ends, it seems like Seattle had a lot of like really tight defensive formations where the outside linebackers weren't even at the defensive ends. They were actually inside the defensive ends. And my question to you on that is the lack of Shaheen in the lineup maybe getting the Bears a little typecast as far as run pass or where the run is going when they go two tight ends? And also from what you saw, they seem to get a little hesitant to go with any kind of streak patterns once Trubisky threw that pick trying to go down the sideline to Robinson. Was there anything that looked like they were doing any kind of tricks as far as concealed zone man coverage that was maybe getting the Bears a little nervous about going deep? And I'll hang up and listen to your answer.
Yeah, Frank, I guess I didn't hear exactly what you heard. It was actually last week in Green Bay where Mitch Trubisky, after the game, said they showed some zone coverages that I wasn't expecting, and everybody kind of scratched their head and said, well, wait a minute, you know, why not? But as far as what happened Monday night, I didn't hear Matt say that. What he did say clearly yesterday is, based on the looks they were giving us, we thought that there was some other stuff there. And what he was talking about, referring to specifically, was that Seattle played a good chunk of the game with 8 and 9 guys in the box. This is a team that gave up 146 yards on the ground the week before to Denver. They feared that the Bears were going to come in and pound them to death, and they wanted to take away the run. And the unspoken part about that is that they were less concerned about Mitch Trubisky beating them than they were about Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen beating them. So I think that's what Nagy was referring to when he talked about the looks that they were giving them. But I don't recall hearing him say anything about Seattle surprising them at all. And I have watched it a couple times, and there's nothing exotic about it. It's actually the opposite. They were stacking the box to take away the run.
Out in Lake Forest, it's Scott. What's up, Scott?
Yeah, hi, guys. Hub, I love you, dude.
Thank you.
I've listened to you for years and years. I just want to say one thing, and that's I knew Duerson. My wife worked for Peyton when he retired. And Duerson, a month before he shot himself in the chest, he told me that he couldn't remember where his car's parked. He couldn't remember how to take his girls to school. He couldn't remember where their school was. CTE is a real thing, and it's got to be addressed because, you know, out here in Lake Forest and all the northern suburbs, they're not letting their kids play football anymore. So I'll hang up and listen to what you guys say.
Thanks, Scott.
You know, it's interesting, Scott, because I'll get in trouble with some folks here, but according to the American Medical Association, chronic traumatic encephalopathy is not necessarily a real thing yet, based on standard medical practices of research and what they can diagnose and what's going on.
Right.
But nobody disputes that repeated hits to the head are bad, that there are probably a disproportionate number of players that are suffering from head trauma to people who work in other industries, that the league has to do something about the damage that is being caused to the players. So I'm not disagreeing with you, but I'm just trying to differentiate there because I do think it's important. The unfortunate reality of it is, though, unless they do away with tackle football, unless you want to play flag or touch, I don't know how they do that. And they're not accomplishing anything by what they're doing with these rules changes.
Out in Melrose Park, it's Vince. What's up, Vince?
Hey, guys. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, gotcha.
All right. So I just had a question. There's been a lot of talk of letting Mr. Trubisky develop and to not really expect much of him. I was wondering, or at least, you know, in these first couple of years, I was wondering if there is any quarterback that you could think of where there was a similar situation where even though they were picked high, the scouting on them was really low. They really weren't that great, and then they weren't that great in the first couple of years. But then over the totality of their career, they ended up being a really good quarterback. Because it seems like that's what people are asking Bears fans to do, is to wait for Mr. Trubisky to become that guy. Has there ever been another quarterback who started out really slow, kind of bad, and then turned out to be, you know, Super Bowl caliber quarterback? I'll hang up and listen.
Well, first of all, I don't agree that Mr. Trubisky's been kind of bad. He's done a lot of the things that I expect a rookie or a young quarterback to do. And quite frankly, I throw out the 12 games last year because Dowell Loggins never should have been the offensive coordinator of the Chicago Bears. I've watched enough NFL football to know what a real plan and what a real system and scheme looks like, and they didn't have one. So you really can't fault Trubisky for that. A partial answer to your question would be Aaron Rodgers, who fell to 23rd or 24th in the first round because 22 or 23 teams had questions about him, and he sat on the bench and watched Brett Favre for 2 years before he ever got off the bench. Jimmy Garoppolo would be another, you know, example, although he has not proven to be a great quarterback yet. And so we can go back over time. I mean, Drew Brees, people forget Drew Brees wasn't Drew Brees till he got to New Orleans. That was after he got in free agency.
Right.
I mean, he was okay in San Diego, but they went and got Phillip Rivers because they didn't think Drew Brees could be their quarterback of the future. So NFL history is loaded with quarterbacks who got off to slow starts. I would not rush out to trade for Ryan Fitzpatrick right now, but Ryan Fitzpatrick's been around for 13 years. He's in his 14th season. So, there's a lot of guys who started slow, who weren't very good, who eventually became very productive NFL quarterbacks.
I'm just, you know, I was thinking about this the other day. I think I brought up his name even. The Ben Roethlisberger thing is somewhat interesting to me because although there were very good games in his rookie season, even his second season, he's a guy who got drafted out of a school that's not known for a whole lot of football, at least not in this last 50, 70 years, Miami of Ohio. And you know, he was a guy that couldn't get a quarterback offer from Ohio State. He played badly in a Super Bowl. I don't know. That feels to me like that might be the comparison Vince might be looking for.
It could be. A bunch of people are texting Steve Young, and you're wrong about that. First of all, Steve Young took $40 million to go to the USFL. He went to Tampa Bay. He was not great on an awful team, and then he sat behind Joe Montana. Well, anybody's going to sit behind Joe Montana, so I just don't know that that's a fair comparison. And by the way, Steve Young is a Hall of Famer. I don't know that Mitch Trubisky is going to be a Hall of Famer either.
See if we can squeeze one more in. It's Elliot in Elgin. What's up, man?
Hey, guys. How do you assess Roy Robertson-Harris's progression? The first couple of years he was on a team, he seemed almost invisible. Now the dude's flashing. The dude's strong at the point of attack. He's wreaking havoc out there. Now, this might be not a good comparison, but to me, I mean, with that frame, he kind of reminds me of, like, UC Umeniora or, heck, even Richard Seymour. But what do you think?
Yeah, Richard Seymour was pretty much strictly an interior guy. Umeniora wasn't quite as big. I think the best comp in the NFL right now, and these are really high standards, is Calais Campbell. That's the most similar body type. Campbell's probably 5 or 10 pounds bigger. But, you know, Roy Robertson-Harris is a great example of developmental talent and what you can accomplish with a practice squad if you get it right. He's been 6'6", 6'6", 6'7", obviously, since he came out of UTEP, but he was about 260 when the Bears found him, and he was a stand-up outside edge-rushing linebacker in college. Bears brought him in. They saw some natural skill. They decided they were going to make a 5 technique out of him. They put 30 pounds on him in the weight room. He's about 290, 295 now. He had the frame that could carry it. You know, normally if you want a guy that's going to be athletic, you don't want to put 30 pounds on him. But in addition to that, I think he has benefited tremendously from playing with Akeem Hicks and learning from him. And while we talked about this, we've been talking about it all through the show, everybody on that team benefits from Khalil Mack being there on defense. But Robertson-Harris is a guy who's been flashing. He flashed a little bit last year. And has been flashing ever since he got to training camp this year. So he's benefiting from Mack's presence, but he's a guy that the Bears have done a great job with of bringing him along.
Hub, that's some solid work from you today, taking phone calls left and right. Appreciate you coming in, too, man. Always great hanging with you.
I always enjoy it. I hope all of our friends celebrating and honoring the holiday are having a good day. And I couldn't do this every day, so I'm sure everybody will be glad Bernsey's back tomorrow.
Bernsey is back tomorrow. It's the Bernstein Ed McKnight Show. We'll do transition with Mack and Parkins next on 670 The Score.
Bears fans, we've got an incredible lineup of football experts on every Score show throughout the season,
including our show, McNeil and Parkins.
Afternoons 1 to 6.
Featuring Bears wide receiver Ellen Robinson, Mondays at 2.
Senior producer of NFL Films, Greg Cosell, Fridays at 3.
Super Bowl winning former head coach Brian Billick, Wednesdays at 5, and lots more.
So keep it on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's home for Bears fans.
You can always depend on Webb Chevy for a quality vehicle at a payment you'll love. Lease a 2018 Equinox for $199 a month or a 2018 Malibu for $179 a month. Visit Webb Chevy in Oak Lawn or Plainfield today. See dealer for details.
My name is Lauren. I'm 33. I didn't want my identity to be the smoking mom. My first experience with Juul, I do remember being like, this is good. It's like a cigarette, but not. I don't miss smoking at all. Like, I can officially say it grosses me out.
Juul is the tobacco alternative that delivers nicotine satisfaction without lingering odor. Make the switch at JUUL.com.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Who doesn't love getting a little extra bang for their buck? At Blaine's Farm and Fleet, we understand. You'll find incredible values within our store every day. Hurry in now for even more genuine values and take advantage of our lowest prices of the year. Right now in our pet department, save $10 on 24 to 44 pound bags of Canidae, all life stages, and pure dog food. Purina Pro Plan dog food is also on sale. 4 to 6 pound bags are now $2 off. Save on a 50 pound bag of Farm and Fleet performance dog food or a 40 pound bag of original cat food. Your choice, just $14.99. Pick up select Cadet 14 ounce gourmet dog chews and treats. They're buy one, get one free. And buy any large bag of Hill's Science Diet dog or cat food and get a $15 Farm and Fleet gift card instantly. Don't miss our lowest prices of the year. That's genuine value from Blaine's Farm and Fleet.
I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's premier home purchase lender. We've created a new way to protect you from unpredictable interest rates. Our exclusive Rate Shield approval. First, we lock your interest rate for up to 90 days. Then, if rates go up, your rate stays locked. But if rates go down, your rate drops. Either way, you win. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed-rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply.
Hi, this is Ryan Kelly with thehomeloanexpert.com. I was reading an article the other day that the average American homeowner has over $16,000 in credit card debt. At first, I thought that it had to be wrong. There's no way that can be right. But then I started thinking about my own cards. And, you know, if you're like me, you go to Home Depot, you go somewhere and you're checking out and they give, you know, 0% for your purchase. You get 20% off today and all these great things. And sure, why not? And then you're going to Target and you're doing the same thing. Before you know it, you have all these credit cards and the interest rates are no longer zero. They're like at 17, 25%. And at the end of the day, you're just shoveling out all this cash just to make the minimum payments. And maybe you get good and you try, you know what? We're not going to use them anymore. We're going to pay these things down. And you freeze the credit cards, put them in a block of ice, you put them in the freezer. But then all of a sudden an emergency comes up and you need new tires. The kids need braces. Just something comes out. You're chiseling the ice. You're getting the credit card and the balance.